Let's pray. Oh Lord, we rejoice that you are King. Lord, we saw this morning how various people felt they could be King in your place, how various people felt they knew better. And Lord, throughout all of these accounts, we could see how you were sovereign, that you were King, that you were Lord of all. And Lord, that remains the case this evening. And Lord, we are so grateful for that. We are so grateful that we have an omnipotent King who is in control of all things, all powerful, all being, all seeing, all knowing. Lord, we have a God who knows what we are doing, a God that knows what we will be doing tomorrow, a God that knows what we will be doing through the rest of our lives, and Lord, a God who is in control of all things. And Lord, as we think this evening, as we think about how we as a church should behave, specifically in the light of a new pastor coming, Lord, we thank you that you have given people to have oversight over us. You have given people to shepherd us, because Lord, we need that. Lord, we are people who need shepherding. We are prone to wander. We need people who will have oversight and keep an eye on us and look after us and care for us and love us in your place. And we're so grateful, Lord, that you're sending an under shepherd to this place. Lord, after a while of prayer and difficulty, a most unusual year, it's such a gift that you've given to this place. And we pray for Daniel this evening, wherever he is. We pray that he has the same excitement about coming, Lord, as we have that he is coming here. And Lord, we pray that you would help the people here to be welcoming here. And we pray that you would help the people to understand the role that he has, the leadership role he has in this place. We hope that the people here, we pray that they would be accepting of him and give him the freedom he needs to have, the freedom he needs to spend time in his world, the freedom he needs to look after his own salvation and work that out as well as the others around him. And Lord, we just pray that the blessing the people have, he will also feel as a blessing as well as he is here. Help him to lead and help the people here to follow. Lord, we just sung, Rejoice, the Lord is King. And we know globally you are King, but we think of parts of the world where it doesn't necessarily feel like that. And we think particularly this evening of Afghanistan. Lord, what a dark country that is. What a difficult, dark government seems to be developing in that country. A country where there's virtually no gospel work. But Lord, we pray for those who are believers in that land. We pray that they might have the boldness and the strength to step out. We pray that you would give them the protection they need. And we pray for organisations that are working in and around that country. Lord, the darkness of Islam there is a palpable thing. But Lord, we know your kingdom is stronger and your kingdom will prevail. Lord, show us what can be done by people who are working for you in that country. Lord, we just pray that you would overrule there. And Lord, we don't have the same pressures in our land, but Lord, it is still a time where we feel that people are a long way from you. Lord, we just pray that the boldness would be in this place as well, with your people in this town, that they would be a light for you as well. And as Daniel comes in, that may increase under his leadership and his guidance and his shepherding as well. So Lord, as we've already prayed, please remain with us this evening. Be amongst us. Show us what you want us to see this evening. And Lord, please take the glory that your name deserves from this service. Amen. Amen. So we're looking this evening at the roles of our local church leaders from the third chapter of Paul's first letter to Timothy. And we'll think more about the overseers, which are translated as bishops in the New King James, who are elders. And we've said already that the office and of pastor and elder are interchangeable. And in fact, the word pastor doesn't even appear in our Bibles. But what are the qualifications then for an elder or a pastor? Well, I'm not intending to do a full discussion on that. As we've already said, I'm a bit late to that. You've already chosen your pastor. But there is a clear flow through the qualifications that we've read, that the elder must be somebody, the pastor must be somebody of good character, of good reputation, beyond reproach. Not a drunkard, not someone who holds money in too high a regard, a disciplined individual with experience in the faith who has a well-managed home. And importantly also, there must be a man who is able to teach. And it's clear from this passage, and there's a similar passage in Titus as well, that a pastor needs to be someone of good character and reputation, both within and outside of the church. One who needs to hold fast to the faith, have a strong sense of family, and not have a strong love of money or drink. They need to be a godly teacher. Now, Kevin DeYoung gives a helpful, really non-technical description of the role of a pastor, and using the normal expression of a shepherd. And he says that a pastor is a man who has charge of the flock of God. Their job is to make sure the flock are feeding on what is good. Their job is to make sure they are not biting each other. And their job is to keep the flock from wolves and from getting lost. And that's all eldering and shepherding ministry. It's God's way, isn't it, through Jesus, to look after his people using a man that he has appointed. It's a role of leadership and patience on the part of a pastor, and ideally other elders also. And it's to make sure that you are spiritually fed and watered. An elder is a pastor, an overseer, but what I really want you to notice before that is that your pastor is not just a pastor. He is also part of this flock. And if you're able, turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And it says there, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Just pause for a moment. Because we pray, don't we, that great things will occur due to the power of the Holy Spirit through Daniel's leadership and the preaching in this place. And we trust that you'll see marvellous work in his name. But there is a but in the next verse. Nevertheless, after all the great things we've just read, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Jesus said to not rejoice in the great work you see. Of course, be thankful for that work. Be thankful that the Spirit is working through you and blessings are coming from this. But the pastor should first rejoice in his own salvation. Even as an elder, he is a child of God first. And you, as Daniel's congregation, you have a key role in this. Verse 1 in 1 Timothy 3 says it's good to desire to be an elder. But from what we've seen, it's even more exciting to be a sheep, isn't it? A saved sheep. Let Daniel be glad to be your leader, but truly thankful because of the love that you show him, that he is part of God's family with his brothers and sisters here in Stone Market. Because as we saw at the start, Daniel is a gift to you from God. He will care for you. He will equip you, but more than that, he will be an example for you as well. And Hebrews 13 verse 7 tells us that we should look to and imitate our leaders. So Hebrews 13:7, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. I think the ESV is a little bit clearer. It says, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life, and imitate their faith. It's not fashionable to imitate people, is it? It says imitate. And then further in the same chapter we read in verse 17, obey those who rule, and that means spiritual leaders. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, or those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable for you. Daniel will be your leader. You should obey him. You should submit to him, because he has to give an account about you as he has to watch over your soul. Surely you want Daniel's account of you to be done with joy. The words we've just read say that it would be of no advantage to you if he is groaning when he gives account of you. Submit and obey. He is working to care for your spiritual health. He is working to equip you for your Christian life. He is not your servant. He is your leader. And remember what we said earlier in 1 Timothy, Paul writes about your role and your responsibilities before he writes about Daniel's role. Don't be critical. Consider your own spiritual life and role before you criticize him. So what about these qualifications then for this amazing office? What does it mean for you personally, sat in your chair rather than the pastor standing at the front? I don't know what strikes you about the list when you read it. Well, to choose a pastor, you needed to find someone who is above reproach, someone who lives with a biblical pattern for marriage, someone sober-minded and self-controlled. He mustn't be a drunkard or be quarrelsome or violent, and he mustn't love money. He must be gentle and respectable and hospitable, and he must manage his household well and with dignity. What strikes you about that list? Okay, in addition, he must be able to teach, and he mustn't be a new convert. But other than those two, don't you think that list is remarkable for how unremarkable it is? Put it another way, which of those qualifications are not necessary for you to be a church member? Would we welcome someone into membership who is quarrelsome and violent? Would we want someone who got uncontrollably drunk and had no self-control? Of course, we want everyone to come and join us on a Sunday, don't we, to hear the word. But to join our church family, we want saved and baptized brothers and sisters who show a regenerate life. In other words, apart from the requirement to be saved for a period of time and being a man able to teach, the qualification for church membership and eldership are exactly the same. Of course, we might want to raise the bar a little for someone who aspires to lead us, but ultimately the same standards apply for us as they do to Daniel. Don't miss the significance of this as you bring it together. The elder should thank God for the blessings he sees in his flock, for the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, but he should first rejoice in his own salvation. The elder is firstly a member of the flock of godly people who have been saved because of the work of Jesus at the cross. And the elder is no different to the rest of us believers in this. The elder has also gained from the shedding of Jesus' blood in the same way that we have. He has been saved through none of his own work, just as we have. And the standard of life expected of us is broadly the same as expected from him. But he will have to go a bit further. He does have to give an account of us. And James 3 goes a little bit further. Says there, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. The word for teacher here is not the same as elder, but we have seen that to be an elder, we need to be able to teach. It's the one unique gift that a man needs if he desires that role. And James says to take care if you wish to be a teacher, as you will be judged with greater strictness. So think about this when you feel a little critical of Daniel, because you will do at some time. Are you living the life that the Lord requires? As a believer, you need to show basically the same qualifications that Daniel has to show. So have a little check on your own life before you criticize him. He is not your servant, as we've said. He is your leader, your earthly shepherd, your gift from God. So let him lead you. He earnestly wants to lead you to a deeper, more joyful, and more fruitful walk with the Saviour. Let's let him do that. Don't criticize him because he isn't doing what you think he should be doing. I've lost count of the number of times I've heard a pastor criticised for not doing enough visitation. Read Acts 6. That's why the deacons were appointed. Of course, your pastor will want to visit to spiritually shepherd his flock, but his primary role is teaching to equip the people. And delight that you have a pastor who spends a significant time of his week studying the Word. That's not just for his benefit, you know, because the closer he draws to the Lord, the closer you as a fellowship will draw to the Lord as well. It's crucial that your pastor has the time and the space to delight in his own salvation. It's essential that your pastor should be able to increase in holiness as he draws nearer to God. Why is this? Well, go back to Hebrews 13, which we read earlier. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you, the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. We are to consider the outcome of our pastor's way of life and we are to imitate him. That's a verse of huge significance, I believe, when we think of elders and pastors. The writer there, to the Hebrews, is putting our elders, our pastors, as role models, and in that they must be pointing us to Jesus, not just through their teaching, but also through their living. And in his letter, Paul tells Titus to be a model of good works before him. He tells him to show integrity, dignity, and sound speech in his teaching. So it's two ways. Our elders and pastors should reflect Jesus, and our love and obedience to our pastor should reflect our love and obedience to Jesus. What did Paul say as an apostle then? What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 11:1? He said, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. You need to give your pastor the space to imitate Christ. And in that way, you will more effectively imitate Christ. So why does that matter? We could spend a long time talking about that. It matters for many reasons, but I'll give you just one. There's a really big lie in the world out there at the moment. And that lie, and you'll see it nearly every night on the TV, that lie is that to be your best, you just need to be yourself. To be your best, just be yourself. That is a lie. But we love to hear it because it tells us that we are enough on our own. It tells us that our own worth is sufficient and we don't need to be any more than we are. Now there's good news in that as well. And if you're a believer, you know that you don't have to compare yourself to others. We're free from comparing our success as God's people with the success of our neighbours, but there is still a godly comparison that runs right through Scripture, and we should use that model to look at others whose walk with the Lord is more fruitful than ours is. It's not about keeping up with others, it's about seeing what Christ is doing in other people's lives and thanking God for that in a really positive way whilst looking for growth in our own lives. Whether we're comfortable with this or not, we look to others, don't we? And having a pastor, and even better, a group of elders who live Christ-centered lives, that's a huge blessing to us in our spiritual growth. To have a pastor who's dedicated to our spiritual health is truly a gift. And we should allow, as we've said, the pastors the space to grow with Christ, the authority to lead us, to lead their flock in the way the Lord leads them. And as a believer, you are a key way in which the world will meet Jesus. You should be living in a way that imitates Christ. You should be giving your pastor the respect and imitation that his position demands, and then you will be doing that. Just think about this for the moment, the weight that's on all of our shoulders. You probably know people who are lost to Christ who know no other believer than you. People are not likely to hear of Christ unless you speak to them. When you do speak, I trust that they will hear from a child of God that they know has lived a life according to the qualifications we looked at earlier. If you're not a believer this evening, just think about why you are not. It may be because you're proud of what you've achieved in your life, and why not? You may be very successful after all. You may dislike being told to imitate others. But just think about your life for a moment and how successful you are in going it alone. And I'm not talking about a money type of success here. You may have loads of money, I don't know. I'm asking you, how successful do you think you will be when you meet Jesus one day? And be under no illusion, you will meet Jesus one day. You see the implications. We will all be judged when we die, and only those who are perfected will enter heaven. So I ask again, how successful are you? How successful are you in being perfect? How successful are you in being perfect without looking to Jesus and living a life for him? You can never be right with Jesus if you do that. You can never receive the salvation unless you look to him, because only he can offer that. But if you are a believer, I praise God. But just if you are a believer, just imagine a church. A church where the pastors, the elders, imitate Christ, where they faithfully preach the word and shepherd a people that take their own qualifications as importantly as they take their pastor's qualifications. A church where the people hold themselves to the same standards as they hold their pastor to. Wouldn't that be a church that you would love to be a part of? Isn't that your prayer for this church? Paul largely qualifies an elder by their character, doesn't he? Apart from teaching, there's no mention of any skills in that qualification at all, just character. So you can hold yourself to the same level of qualification. Imitate him. As Matt Smethurst said, he said, elders lead ministry, deacons facilitate ministry, congregations do ministry. Get that? We are the ones who do the ministry. And let's look forward to a day when this church is full of people doing ministry.